Hallelujah. Kids are dismissed for Sunday school, the classes. Well, today, the A team is in Circleville for preaching. You get the B team, the Bullock team. So I'm good with that. Opens doors and he shuts doors and he opens windows and provides opportunities. And he gave me this, and you're all going to be familiar with it. Tell you what, you can all sit down. It's okay. I might be talk here for a few minutes before I pray. He gave me this a few months ago. It's a simple message, but I think we've all heard it. We've all grown up with it. But I never knew when I'd be talking about it. I never knew when I'd be preaching it. And then a few weeks ago, I got the text, hey, Father's Day. You want to preach on Father's Day? Absolutely. Now I know why. And I'm going to talk to you today about the faithfulness of the Father. And I'm going to open with one scripture first. And this is Jesus talking. He's talking about some parables here. And he said a certain man had two sons. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for the opportunity to stand on this platform behind this desk. I don't take this lightly. It's an honor, Jesus, to stand here. God, anoint these words and anoint the ears to hear. Give them hearts to receive, Lord, and a mind to understand. Help me, God, to be the vessel that you can use today. In Jesus' name. I'm just going to be as plain, simple, and open as I can be. I'm just a simple guy. So that's what works for me. And this is this parable about the prodigal son. I look at this and I said, you know what? They wrote my story years before I ever lived it. For those of you, I've told this before, those of you who know who I am, I was raised in this. I'm what, fifth, sixth generation apostolic? I don't know, somewhere along those lines. I come from a long line of ministers and missionaries, and they were raised in the oneness and the baptism of Jesus' name. So this, I was raised in this. But I walked away from it. You know, the things, Pastor talked about this the other night, about wanting to go out and live your own life, do your own thing. And that was me. The school of hard knocks, the hard head. Even though I knew the truth, I wanted to make my own mistakes. I remember Mom saying to me one time, where did we go wrong? And I said, you did nothing wrong. You've been a great example. I just want to do my own, as it turns out, stupid things. So I walked away from this and had a lot of tears and sorrows along the way. There's a song that says, I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. So, I know where I've been. I know what I am. And it is a tremendous honor. I don't deserve to stand here. But the faithfulness of the Father. I'll read some more scriptures here. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I didn't say it, but this is Luke 15, starting in verse 11. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. It doesn't say he tried to talk him out of it. It doesn't say he gave him advice, because he knew his son's heart. And sometimes we got to let our kids make mistakes. Sometimes we've got to let them fall. And it's not easy to watch, but sometimes that is the best teacher. I've told you about this before. My son was probably 2, maybe 3 years old, and I was doing some remodeling in a house. And there were some finish nails sitting there. And he would grab a finish nail, and there's an outlet. And he'd head to that outlet. And I'd tell him, no, don't do that. And I'd take the finish nail away. Before I knew it, I looked over, and he's heading to that outlet again with the finish nail. Well, about the third time he did this, I went, okay. And he went over, I know 110, 220 is different. This is 110. It'll just give you a wake-up call. So when he walked over and inserted that nail and went, told you, he never did that again. It was a one-time lesson learned. Maybe that wasn't the best fatherly thing to do, but he learned. I bet he's never done it to this day. And then my daughter in high school decided to take the path of hard knocks and started running with the wrong crowd. But she came to a place in her life after she had a son and where she found herself living that, like the young man we're going to find out in this story, that he came to the realization of where he was, and he didn't like where he was going. And not many days after verse 13, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. This guy was a party animal. He had a pocket full of change and bright ideas. He had the freedom of being out from under his father's hand. He was going to go out and he was going to do things his way. I think it was Frank Sinatra saying, I did it my way. Yeah, that's what this guy's doing. So he's out there, man. When this guy shows up, the party is on. Drinks are on the house. Yeah, he's got a pocket full of change, pocket full of money. He's got an unending well. He's got an unending supply, or so he thought. So he riotous living, the party life. I've been there. I've been there. It looks fun at first. But there comes a point where you lose control and the party takes over you. The drinking and the drugs, the alcohol, all these things, they're fun at first. They really are. Until you start to need it, until you start to crave it. And then it is crazy how things get out of control so fast. It is nuts, man. I mean, I have been there. I have been there where the first thing I wanted to do when I woke up in the morning was partake in those kind of things. And it was the last thing I did before I went to bed. So to say it's a miracle I'm standing here, that I am beyond honored to be here, this is my story. It was written in this book. Riotous living. And when he had spent all, it's all gone. His inheritance is gone. Everything his father had worked for and saved up for this young man is gone. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Everything's gone. I've lost it all. I don't have a home. I don't have a family. I don't have money in my pocket. Everything's gone. You know, at Daddy's house, there might have been a few rules. Daddy's house, there might have been a few chores. But he was out from under that. And this is where he's at. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him in the fields to feed the swine. Now, I don't know if you've ever been around pigs. I have been. I grew up in a farming community. Farmer I used to bale hay for, I was about 12 years old, and old Walter Roof. Walter Roof was a spendthrift, if that means he was a tightwad. Maybe that isn't the right word. He was a tightwad. We When you met old Walter, he had a pack of Red Man in his pocket, a chew in his jaw. And if you looked at his boots, they should have gone in the trash years ago because he took hog rings and he pliered them back together as they'd come apart. That was Walter. He'd say, "Want a chew?" "Ah, man, I'm not going to put anything in my mouth. I'd have to spit out later." So, no, thank you, sir. But that was Walter. Rough and rough. He seemed like he was ancient all the time, even as a kid. And he lived for, I don't know how old he was when he died. I think he was in his 90s. But I learned a lot from Walter. But he raised pigs. He raised hogs, amongst other things. He was also a field farmer, raised crops. So old Walter, if you're talking to him, you're standing in the barn, you'd hear a commotion, continual commotion in the background. And it was those hogs bumping up against the hog house or rooting around in the mud. You see, the hogs don't care where they live. They don't care the squalor they're in. It's what they do. They'll eat anything. They'll eat you if you fall down. Yeah. Hogs can be very vicious animals. So I've been around hogs. It's not the
baby, that's all, folks.
It's not Porky. It's not the Babe. You know, that'll do, pig. That'll do. It's not the pig on Charlotte's Web. Amazing pig. You know, it's Amazing Spider, but I don't know if that pig had a name or not. It's not Arnold. Arnold Ziffel. Arnold, turn down the TV. No, these are pigs are, and they stink, and they're muddy, and they're wallowing around in their own filth. And this is where this young man found himself, living amongst the pigs. This guy who had plenty. And he sent him to the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. I mean, this guy is down and out. He's got nothing left. I remember several times I'd do my own thing, and my dad would say, "Well, you're going to do this, you know." And you would come back, and I'd say, "I would never do that." Well, you know what? You find yourself doing things you would never, ever dream you would do. You go farther than you would ever go. You do things you thought you would never do. Suddenly things that were disgusting become acceptable. That's the world we live in. It sucks you in, uses you, and spits you out, just like it did this young man. I try to understand the love of God, and I really, really can. Even the love of a father for his child, you get frustrated, and you see them make mistakes. And so many times, you know, if that child comes back, our the father's attitude can be, "I told you so. I knew it." But in this story, it isn't what happens. And he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, he began to be in want. And when he went and joined himself, that's when he feed the swine, and would fain and filled his belly with the husks, the leftovers, the trash that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And this is where he makes his turnaround. This is awesome. He finds himself in the squalor with the pigs. He finds himself sharing dinner with the pigs. He finds himself, and it's not bacon. This is still on the hoof. There's an old joke that says chicken and a pig were discussing breakfast. And the chicken said, "Well, that's my favorite meal of the year, or meal of the day." And the pig says, "Yeah, well, yeah, for you it's a contribution. For me it's a commitment." So but when he came to himself, he shook himself. He looked around and said, okay, this isn't where I want to be. This isn't what I want to do. With myself, the time it came to myself, I'd been out of church for years and years and years. And God came to me in a dream. I mean, this is, I've probably told this testimony before. In this dream, I only had one child at the time, Stephanie. And in this dream, I and Lori were running through the desert. And I knew in my mind that missiles had been launched. And I knew they were nuclear missiles, and how timely that is even today. But I knew that there were nuclear missiles that had been launched. And we're running through the desert, and we're running to caves, and we'd run to this cave. But it was so full of people. If you stood up against the people in the cave, you were still outside the cave, outside the protection. So, and I didn't know where Stephanie was. All I knew was she was gone. I knew she, in my mind, that she was lost. And then I ran to this cave, and we ran to that cave. Everywhere we ran, it was identical. It was exactly the same. The mouth was just completely full of people, and standing up against them, you were still outside the cave. And then off in the distance, I saw a bright flash, and I said, don't look at it. And I woke up. And I sat up, and I said, and Lori was awake, and she was, and I said, where's the Bible? And we had a Bible in the headboard of the bed at the time. And I started, and I at that, it was like 3 or 4 in the morning. And I started flipping through it. I wanted to see the signs of the end times, you know, famines and wars and rumors of wars, and I wanted to see all these things. And God was working a miracle in me. He was turning my life around. That was my turning point. That's when I came to myself, like this man in this story. And when he came to himself, you got to look at his situation where he was. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? In my father's house, there's bread enough and to spare. In my father's house, every need can be met. In my father's house, every thirst can be quenched. In my father's house, any miracle I need is waiting there in my father's house. All I got to do is come to myself, shake myself, realize the situation and where I am. I had it better before. I've been in church. I've been out of church. In church is better, much better. I ran into a guy one time that I went to high school with. See, you look up here, you see a nicely dressed guy that just, you know, you show up at church, and you don't know what's inside here. You don't know what was inside here. You don't know the scars I carry because of the things I've done, the life I've lived. You know, I've heard preachers throughout the years that talk about, you know, they would come to church and they talk about their great testimonies and all, but I don't remember them talking about the scars. The scars aren't on the outside. The scars are on the inside. The scars are on my heart. The scars are on my mind. The things I've done and the shame that I've carried over the years. But you know, when you come to God, when you come to the Father and you lay it down at his feet, it's gone. And you repent and say, Dad, Father, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. And you turn your life around and you lay it at his feet. It's cast into the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered, never to be brought up again. When we make mistakes, a lot of times things are brought up. Well, you remember how you did it this time. But God doesn't do that. He's so far above our ways, so far beyond our love. Hallelujah. And he came to himself. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. This is what he had to do. He had to pick himself up. This is so good. You know, you take one step, God will meet you. You turn your life around to God, he's there. He's waiting. Because he never left you. He never forsook you. I was the one that turned around. I was the one that walked away. I was the one that put a gap between us. I was the one that put the distance between us. It wasn't him. He's never let me down. He's never failed me. He's never faltered. He's never turned his back on me. He's never broken a promise. He is God. He's the greatest father a man could ever have. When he came to himself, I will arise and go to my father. I will say unto him, Father, he had to swallow his pride. Pride goeth before the fall, they say. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy, no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Because even the servants had it better in his house than he had it in the world. And he arose. This is so awesome. He arose and came to his father. Now, this tells me a lot about the father. You know, all of us are represented in this story. Because the other son's going to make an appearance here in a few. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off. You know what that tells me about the dad? The dad never gave up hope. The dad never quit praying for him. The dad never quit watching for him. Maybe dad would go out on the front porch on the mornings. Maybe he'd sit there with his cup of coffee. And he'd sit there and he'd watch people as they walk by the road. Ah, it's not him. Maybe it's today. Maybe today is the day. And, you know, he'd read his paper, you know, read the sports section. Who knows? Jehovah's Jets aren't doing so good this season. The Bethlehem Bombers are blowing it. They never should have made that trade. And then he'd get up and he'd go about his chores. Well, this morning wasn't the morning. And it really never tells us how long the son was gone. It was way more than days. It was more than weeks. It may have been months, but I tend to believe it was years. And I believe Jesus, when he told this story, left that out on purpose. Because we've each got loved ones. We've each had our own path that took years to get back where we need to be. I've got two children to get back, need to get back where they need to be. But I believe him. And I'll never quit watching. I'll never quit looking. I'll never quit praying. I'll never quit hoping. Because when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. There was something about the walk. Okay, because he didn't look the same when he came back. He was well-dressed. He smelled nice when he left. He had money in his pocket. But when I tend to think when he came back, maybe he didn't have that haughty walk. He wasn't proud when he came back. He may have looked more like the pigs and smelled more like the pigs than when he left, because he'd been laying with the pigs. This world will leave a stench on your life that you don't want to carry. But God can wipe that away in one fell swoop. 1 second, that can be gone. And he ran. Dad ran. He said, there's something about the walk. It's a little different. It's a little slower. There's something about a stance. It's a little bit different. But I recognize him. I know who that is. The father could look through the scum and the sin and the junk that he was carrying with him and the smell. And he said, he ran and fell on his neck. He hugged him. He kissed him. He threw his arms around him. He didn't care what he looked like. He didn't care what he smelled like. He didn't care about all those things. My son is back. He's returned. My child is back. That's the father we serve. He doesn't care. Bring your junk with you, but leave it at the altar. God will wipe it all away. I'm proof of that. My cousin, do you call texting back and forth? Is that considered a conversation these days? Is it? Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, my cousin and I were having a conversation, evidently. And see, she knows my story. She was the daughter of an apostolic minister and a missionary. I have two cousins that are they're the same age as mine. Mine's June 2nd, my birthday. Chris is June 3rd, and Laura is June 7th. So around June 10th, I remembered her birthday. Uh-oh, I blame it on age. That's what I told her. And so I texted her, and we were evidently having this conversation back and forth by text. And she goes, "Are you still singing? Are you still preaching?" I said, "As a matter of fact, I'm scheduled to speak this coming Sunday." And she says, "Your dad would be over the moon if he could see you." To which I texted back, "I believe he's a little higher than that." Because I know where my dad ended up. And when my dad passed away, it was a shock, and it was fast, and it was unexpected. But I look at my dad as an example. See, dads, we carry a tremendous responsibility. Your kids are watching you. Your kids are watching you when you cut off in traffic. What did Dad say? One time I realized how much influence I had on my son. He was in a car seat in the back of this car. I think it was an 84, 85 New Yorker. And those cars talk to you. It was a wonderful time. You know, your door is ajar. And I would say, "Does that mean a jar is a door?" Stupid conversations I'd have with my car. So I would get in, and the thing would say, "Please buckle your seatbelt." To which I would respond, "No." And one day I get in there, and I shut the door, and it says, "Please fasten your seatbelt." And Levi from the back, Travis from the back seat goes, "No." Uh-oh. He's listening. He's picking up on what I'm putting down. See, you're influencing your child every day. You know, when that wrench slips, does it go flying across the yard? And you got to go look for it? When you hit your thumb with a hammer, does that hammer go this way and things go that way? Your kids are always watching. You are an influence on your child, whether you know it or not. You are the example that they're looking up to. Hallelujah. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." I have felt that. To my core, I have felt that. "Father, I'm not worthy to be here. I'm not worthy to stand in front of you folks." I think it was pastor that said he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called, or something to that effect. So I know what it's like to be on both sides of this. But the Father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet." He's restoring him. He isn't just accepting him back. He's restoring him. We serve a Father that will restore us, renew us, revive us. He doesn't want to replace us. He wants to bring us back. There's the other parable about the 100 sheep and how he left the 90 and 9. One goes wandering off. It wasn't that the one was more important or more valuable. It wasn't the sheep. It was a sheep. It was one of the shepherd's sheep. So there's safety in numbers. So he was able to walk away from the 99 to go out and search for that one lost sheep. I was that one lost sheep. He sought me out when I didn't want anything to do with this. He wouldn't leave me alone because he loved me too much. The love of my Father. Hallelujah, the faithfulness of the Father. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Now, this is a better party. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. Alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You see, the father never stopped loving. He never stopped watching. He never stopped hoping. He never stopped waiting. He never stopped praying. Don't give up on your kids. It can be years, even decades. Don't give up. God's still doing a work. God's still doing a work. Lord, stir them up in their dreams. When their guard is down, God, enter their dreams. Give them the dreams like he gave to me when he woke me up. Hallelujah. God, do a work. Because time is getting so, so short. I'm honestly surprised that we haven't seen the rapture of the church as of yet. With everything coming against Israel, and we may be in for some very interesting times in the very near future. There's no better place to be than under the shadow of the Almighty, under his umbrella of protection. No better place to be. I've been here. I've been there. Here's better. You know, they said, well, you're not allowed to do this. I'm allowed to do anything I want. I choose not to. And now, here's where everybody else is involved. And now his elder son was in the field. This son could have done one of two things. He chose to do the not so great thing. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music. And that's music with a K. I-C-K. And dancing. And he called one of the servants. Said, what's up? Called one of the servants. He said, what do these things mean? And he said unto him, thy brother is come. And thy father hath killed the fatted calf. And because he hath received him safe and sound. There's a comfort about being home. There's a comfort about being in your father's arms. I remember as a young, Dad would even know I was faking at times. You know, we'd be coming back from somewhere, and as a child, laying in the back seat, and I'd hear Dad. We'd get home, and Dad would go, "Get out of the car, you faker!" And I just lay there. There were other times I was truly asleep, and it was like magic. You went to sleep in the car and you woke up the next morning in your own bed. It's because my dad's arms picked me up, carried me into the safety of our house, put me in bed and tucked me in. Something about being in the comfort of your father's arms. My dad and I looked a lot alike on the outside, but we were nothing alike on the inside for the most part. And we butted heads a lot. And I know we live in a time of broken families. I mean, for the most part, if you're a complete family, you're almost a rarity these days. And my dad, as a young child, had two brothers and his mom, Nana. His dad abandoned them at a very young age, which was, you know, almost unheard of back then. So Dad's example of how to be a good father was he didn't have an example. All he knew was to be a good dad, you had to be a good provider. So Dad worked two jobs all the time because it was important that Mom got to stay home, which is a tremendous job in and of itself, raising kids. It's the most underpaid job in the world, being a housewife, being a mother. But it was important that she got to stay home with the kids and raise the kids. So Dad missed out on a lot. You know, he missed out on trips to Florida. He missed out on the camping trips and the fishing and things of that nature. Not that Dad wanted to do a lot of those things because he enjoyed working. Well, see, I didn't appreciate that at the time. See, I never really put two and two together until many years later. That's why Dad was working so much. That's why Dad, because he went without. I never went without a meal. I never went without a roof over my head, shoes on my feet, clothes on my back. But what I was missing a lot of the time was my dad, because he wasn't there. He was working. So I took that and said, okay, now I want to do it one step better. So I provided for my family. Of course, we both worked. I provided for my family. But when it came to the ball games, when it came to the soccer games, I was there. I wanted to be there. I worked with a guy that said, I don't know, I think he was pretty serious when he said this. He goes, kids ruin your life. I was like, what? Kids, man, you know, your whole life is wrapped up around your kids. I said, dude, that's the most awesome thing I've ever done. That's the best experience I ever had, was being a father, raising my kids. I said it was the most fulfilling, rewarding. It gave my life purpose. It gave my life meaning. Raising my kids. I never can remember a time I didn't want to be around my kids. It was awesome. So when he said that, it kind of shocked me, because I don't understand that mindset. Because this father had met his son on the road, ran to him, threw his arms around him. There was a comfort in that. Now he's back home. And the brother was angry. He didn't welcome his brother back. He was angry and would not go in. So he's out there having a pity party. He's out there pouting. Because the father welcomed the other son back. See, they weren't this one. They were equal. They were both his sons. They were both his children. And he loved them equally. And he was angry, would not go in, and therefore came his father out and entreated him. He said, man, what are you doing? And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. He was faithful. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, and I might make merry with my friends. You know, you never threw a party for me. You never killed the fatted calf for me. No, because you were here the whole time. You had access to everything like this the whole time. You had the run of the place. You had the food on the table. You had the clothes on your back. You had all you need because you were in your father's house. You never left. You were faithful. There's something to be said for that. See, this older brother doesn't understand. He doesn't carry the scars that the world put on the younger son. He doesn't carry the guilt. He doesn't carry the shame. But the father still views them as equal because he restored that lost child. He brought him in and he restored him to his former place. He gave him the robe and the ring and the fatted calf. He gave him the kiss. And he gave him the hug. You're welcome home, son. I at any time the commandment, and thou never gavest me a kid, I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son has come, which hath devoured his living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. I mean, I know what my brother did. I know what he's been doing. I know what he's been up to. And yet you still welcome him back, the faithfulness of the Father. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Hallelujah. Like I say, I read this story, and it's me. It's my story before I was ever born. I've lived this. I've been there. I've done that. This is better. I ran into a guy I used to go to school with. And this was many years after I got out of high school. And it's funny how life takes turns and takes you to places you never know where you're going to be. And so I happened to stop in Grove City. As a matter of fact, I was going to a church picnic, and I stopped to get ice. And this guy, he was a clown, the class clown in our auto shop. Ended up becoming the entry guy on the SWAT team for the Franklin County Sheriff. Big guy. And I walked in, "Hey, Chris, what's up?" He goes, "Hey, Bullock, what's new?" I said, "Oh, not much." He goes, "Not what I hear." "What do you hear?" And then he proceeded to hear that I was a minister. And I said, "Yeah, it's funny how life changes things." Because I was the farthest thing away in high school. You would never expect me to be here. And your life is a testimony. You never know who's watching. Dad, you never know when your kids are watching. There was a song I used to sing years ago, and it said something like this. It was, "Now and then, an old friend of mine I've not seen for some time will stop by and ask me, where have I been? What's on my mind? They wonder why I'm not drinking and still painting this old town red. Well, I tell them I'm serving Jesus now, and that old man is dead. Oh, the man you see before you, I may look a lot the same. I may wear the same clothes, have the same old name, but you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man, because that old man is dead." Hallelujah. Funny story. In another church I attended, we had an elderly lady that her husband passed away, and she liked the message in the song. She said, "Why don't you sing that at my husband's funeral?" Well, it's called "The Old Man is Dead." I don't think that's appropriate. So we didn't. You see, I used to live such a wicked life. I had no hope in sight. I was lost in the darkness. I was searching for the light. Then one night in a little church, after hearing what the preacher said, I gave my life to Jesus, and that old man was dead. Oh, the man you see before you may look a lot the same. I may wear the same clothes and have the same old name, but you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man, because that old man is dead." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's my testimony. That's my story. And it isn't just mine. We all know somebody. We've all got somebody in our family that we're praying for. We've all got somebody in our family that we aren't giving up hope for. We've all got somebody in our family that we have to put in the hands of God. Say, "God, I trust you. I trust you and I believe you." If we could all stand. Musicians, come back, please. Because I know there's donuts waiting. I don't want to keep you too long. But so God gave me this months and months ago for today. For today. God is a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God of opportunity. Today we have an opportunity, each and every one of us, to search ourselves, to come to ourselves and say, "You know what? I don't like where I've been. I still don't like some of the things I've done. I still don't like where I've been. My prayer life needs to go deeper." My praise life needs to go higher. I need to worship him and thank him each and every day for his mercies, for his grace, for his love, for his faithfulness. My Father's been faithful to me. So faithful. And I still feel I let him down every day. Because there's always room for improvement. Lord Jesus, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Hallelujah. So this altar is open.